Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. We welcome you to this program. Is al-fiqhu ala al-madhahib al-arba'ah, jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today our topic is on medicine in Islam, and listeners can send their questions through. And we have our honorable Mufti Saab here, Hadrat Mufti Abdul Qadir, damat barakatuhu. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa azahi jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, we have a whole lineup of questions here. Mufti Saab, with regards to the Sharia and the Maqasid al-Sharia, what are the aims of the Sharia?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we should know that today is the 20th of Zulqa'dah 1442, and our topic today in our fiqh lesson jurisprudence is Al-Islam wa Tib, Islam and medication. And remember, every Muslim male and female, we have to follow the Sharia. Sharia literally means a path, and it means to follow the path mentioned to us in the noble Quran, ثُمَّ جَأَلْنَاكَ عَلَىٰ شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ فَاتَّبِعْهَا. So you have to follow the path which Almighty Allah has chalked out for us. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And do not follow the path of those that you do not know. So you must remember those people who don't know, they just follow their own whims and fancies like you find today. So that is a sad state of affairs. Second one will be now the path which Almighty Allah chalked out for us and explained and expounded by Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as mentioned in chapter 16 verse 44, wa anzalna ilayka dhikra litubayyana linnas, and we reveal to you the reminder, that is the Quran Sharif, so that you explain in detail to the people ma nuzila ilayhim, what has been revealed for them, وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and so that they be the ones that they will wonder, ponder and reflect. Then we follow all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and then the four schools of thought. That in a nutshell is the Sharia, and that is what we believe in the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So in every law of Sharia you will find Maqasidu Sharia, the aims of the Sharia, and you will find the opposite of it. So number one is this, that we must protect the deen. So, like for example, today people, you get some maulvis, some sheikhs, they say you must close the masjid. So what is left then? So they are the enemies of Islam, you must remember that. So remember to promote the deen and protect the deen. So that is what must be done. Therefore Islam says, if a person, you must remember, is born a Muslim or embraces Islam, Allah forbid, aliyazu billah, he or she then leaves the fold of Islam, becomes a murtad, apostate. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu, then the death penalty and capital punishment will be applicable. So first aim of Sharia, to protect and preserve Deenul Islam, the religion of Islam. Second one will be to protect life. Remember that. So protect life not via haram means. It must be through halal means and so forth. Therefore murder and all that will be unacceptable in Islam unless there are valid grounds. For example, premeditated murder. So Islam will say that the heirs of the family, they have, you must remember, options that if it is premeditated murder, they all are unanimous, the heirs, so life for life will take place. Otherwise, they can demand blood money, dia, or third option will be sulah, whatever they reconcile with and they agree with the person, for example, his house or car or some money or whatever you. Or fourth one will be that you must remember, they say that we forgive you. So that is also the prerogative. And the fourth one will be, they say, just leave it for this world. We will see what happens in the year after. So all these options are available for the heirs of the victim who was murdered and killed. Yes, in war situation and all that, so then it is mubah, for example, where there's battles in Afghanistan or Palestine or Syria and these places. So there, the enemy you kill, so obviously that is permissible. So that will be the second one. Third one will be that you did hifazatul mal, you protect the wealth, the assets of people. And therefore, Islam said that where people steal and so forth, then you must amputate. You take their hand. وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقْتَوْا أَيْدِيَهُمَا. Why? الْيَدُ الْأَمِينَ ثَمِينَ. For one finger in Islam, for one finger is 10 camels. And for 10, so it will be 100 camels, over a million rand and so forth, much more. Why? When the hand is honest, then it's expensive. وَإِذَا خَانَتْ هَانَتْ. But when it steals, then remember 100, then also you will amputate the hand of that person. You just make few people a sample example, and that will be a deterrent for humanity. And the fourth one will be that, remember the aql, hifadatul aql, that you protect the wealth or you protect the intelligence and the intellect of people. So therefore Islam said, kullu muskirin haram wa kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu khamrin haram. That every intoxicant thing, everything that makes you drunk immediately or after some time, remember that is haram and not permissible, because al-khamru ma yukhamilu al-aqla, is that what beclouds your mind, you can't think straight. So imagine in today's world, the non-Muslims, they can't live without their wine and swine. So Islam came and abolished all this and said it has no place. It is detrimental for your intelligence, it is detrimental for your spiritual well-being. So Almighty Allah taught us, and in Islam, when a person is found guilty of taking intoxicants, alcohol, then it's 80 lashes in public. And then the fourth one will be that hifazatul, that irs, that will be that you protect your honor and so forth. Therefore Islam says, you can't just go around and start accusing people that you're a zani, zaniya, that you are a fornicator, fornicatress, adulterer, adulteress. You must produce four male witnesses who are eyewitnesses. And if you can't do that, fajliduhum samanina jalda, Quran says in the beginning of Surah Nur, chapter 24, then 80 lashes will be given to them in public. So it shows that Islam has these punishments. People will call it in this day, this age, very stringent. Some will say barbaric, Allah forbid. We say these are the best punishments, because that way you will have a society that will be a society that's living in harmony and peace. You can see how we live nowadays. Every person lives in fear, because you must remember that there's no protection for people's life, for people's honor, for people's wealth, for people's religion, and so forth and so on. So therefore, when you study the Sharia, you have to study the Sharia holistically and not selectively.
Mufti Saab, with regards to the Quran and the Sunnah, what does the Quran and the Sunnah say about medication?
Remember that the Quran Sharif says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَى, that the entire Quran Sharif is also shifa. So this shifa here means spiritual shifa, that you see we have jealousy, we have pride and so forth. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْئِذَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. So we have pride, we have jealousy, we have love for this world, we have love for wealth, love for publicity, publicity, name and fame. So Quran Sharif, 6,236 verses, 114 chapters, all are shifa and cure. So any part of the Quran Sharif you read, and thereafter you blow on a person, you blow on yourself, we call that ruqya. So that will be beneficial. And some places Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself mentioned, like in Bukhari Sharif, the hadith is mentioned, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu read on one non-Muslim leader Surah Fatiha 7 times, and then he felt better, and then he gave them 30 goats, 30 sheep, whatever. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, very good. So hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So yeah, we find that you must remember a person reading Quran and a person then reading and blowing, so all that will be shifa. But that does not mean that we only rely on that. We can take the physical medication as well, which is prescribed by the doctors and so forth, provided that the ingredients are halal. But remember, with that we use the spiritual medication. Quran Kareem speaks about honey, fihi shifa'ul linnas, in that there is cure for humanity. So today you can see the wonders of honey. So many people are understanding now the benefit of honey and so forth, not only for eating, drinking and so forth and mixing with others. Even if you apply the honey externally and you have yaqeen and conviction, it will help that person inshallah. Then you see in the hadith, few examples I'll just cite and mention. Allama Suyuti rahimahullah, Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah, they all wrote books on this, Tibbun Nabawi and that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's medication and so forth, in which he encouraged the ummah to utilize. Hadith in Ibn Majah is authentic. Ma u zamzama lima shuriba lahu, whatever intention you drink the zamzam water, Allah jalla Allah will make it effective. How many people rank? We ourselves. And you see Allah Ta'ala gives you shifa and cure. But the condition is the person must have yaqeen and conviction himself. You see olives and olive oil. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic hadith, open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. Kulu zayt waddahinu bihi, eat the olives. And see the jutlas, the Jews, the enemies of humanity and Muslims. So how they destroy the olive trees and all that of the Palestinians. And every day you will find they stealing, occupying the land and the houses of the Palestinians. So remember, Almighty Allah speaks of the olive tree and olives in Quran, watini wa zaytun wa shajaratan takhruju min turi sayna'a tambutu bidduhun. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kulu zayt, that you eat the olives, waddahinu bihi, and you apply the olive oil. So normally I would tell people, read 7 times Surah Fatiha on the olive oil, and then apply it and massage it on your pains and aches and pains and so forth. Fa innahu min Shajarati Mubaraka. So that is also, remember, a very, very a blessed tree. Third one in hadith is mentioned in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood. Dawu Mardakum bi Sadaqa, and read Surah and give charity, remember, in cash or kind, and in that way there, that will give shifa and cure to those people who are ill and sick. So all this we'll find references and practice of it. And another example in hadith in Sahih Muslim, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Uqba radiallahu anhu, and it was a dark night and the wind was gusting and blowing, violent wind. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him for Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu, Ya Uqba, you must read Mu'awwidhatayn, Surah Falaq, Surah Nas, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Nas. You know, people speak of Ta'weez. Leave all those Ta'weezes for your children and so forth, and read this. Ma ta'awwaza muta'awwidhun bi mithlihima. No person can read something more powerful than this Ta'weez here. And that is Surah Falaq, Surah Nas, chapter 113, 114. The last two surahs of the Noble Quran. Quran. See hadith in Bukhari Sharif. And you will find Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling the Sahaba that Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, he read this for his two sons. Say Nabi Ismail alayhi salam when he was very young, and Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam when he was young, and I, Rahmatul Alameen Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, read that for Hassanain, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, my beloved grandsons, I read for them, A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tamma, a'udhu wa u'idhukuma, both you can read, bi kalimatillahi tamma. So I read, Ya Allah, we seek your complete word, protection to your complete words, a'udhu bi kalimatillahi tamma min kulli shaytanin wa hamma, and from every shaytan and human being shaytan or jinn shaytan, all that, min kulli shaytanin wa hamma, and everything that is dangerous, poisonous, harmful, wa min kulli aynin lamma. Maulana, you got children, so you know sometimes that people look at the son, the daughter, how handsome he is, how beautiful she is, and then they fall sick. Nabi alayhi salam said, Inna la'ayna haqqun, the evil eye is the truth in Mishkat Sharif. So these are now what you will say, that you know, you have the doctors that tell you antidote. So you must remember this will be prescriptions for protection. So a'udhu, so every parent should learn this dua and blow on your children especially. A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tamma min kulli shaytanin wahamma wa min kulli aynin lamma. And see Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam reciting it. Nabi Muhammad Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting it. So we must take these type of prescriptions as well, and then inshallah we take it with the modern day medication, and you combine it and place your trust in Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Sahib, with regards to the current crisis COVID-19, how do we respond, and especially when we know there are deaths dealing with it?
Yes, remember that nobody denies it. Everybody will say that so many people are passing away. Just today we know the janaza took place. Oh, Mohana Ibrahim Bamji, and then Rahimahullah. So many other people. Yesterday, Dr. Ismat. These are people we know. So you must remember, and all in hospital or at home. And because of COVID-19, Corona, and so forth and so on. So yeah, our advice will be 4 or 5 things. Number one is this. The authentic hadith that is mentioned in Sunan Nasai, that every Muslim must learn this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam, is authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasai. Oh Almighty Allah, I seek your protection, min sayyi'il asqam, from the dreaded diseases. Remember that. So each one of us should drink that dua. Ya Allah, they protect us from all these things. The problem with us is when things happen, then we want to start making dua and so forth. So when we are healthy, also beg Almighty Allah. Second, those people who are ill already, so they must read, you must remember Surah number 21 and verse number 83 in the 17th Supara. Surah 21 verse 83, Anni massaniya durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Any sickness comes on a person, read this dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. He was ill and sick, ulama wrote, for 7 years, and he used to cry to Allah, and Almighty Allah put him through this trial. Then everything Allah gave him, double, his health, his wealth, his children, everything. So Almighty Allah taught him the dua, say, Anni massaniya durru, this calamity, this distress has afflicted me, wa anta arhamur rahimin. So that, and you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So abundantly, every person, whatever sickness we have, so Allah protect us, read this. Third one, when there is illness, sickness, then people remember, have worry, sorry, anxiety, the whole family now, you understand, because it's long, you know, sometimes months and months, sometimes years. So read Surah 21 verse 87, so it's just a few verses apart. Surah chapter 21 verse 87, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, Inni kuntu min al-zalimin, that, O Almighty Allah, that truly there is none worthy of worship but you, and I am from the wrongdoer. So yeah, for Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, you will translate it, I made an error in judgment. They are ma'asum, protected from sins. For me and you, when we translate it another way. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin, I am the wrongdoer, I am the sinner, I am the transgressor, I am the oppressor. So that is how we translate it for us. Then what Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That, remember, Allah Ta'ala says, we rescued him and he was in the belly of the fish and then from there he came out. But it's for all the believers. Allah will rescue us and save us also. But we must have yaqeen and conviction. Then you see chapter 7, verse 180. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Almighty Allah has wonderful, beautiful names. So invoke and call Almighty Allah by those names. When people contact me, I tell them, read Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu. So one of the attributes of Allah, and that is Ya Allah, give us safety, security, health, protect us, cure. All these translations can work there. So in that way there, we read the Mubarak, blessed name of all Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. Then the next one will be that this person, he must ask and beg Allah, hadith in Tirmidhi, for afiyah. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had thousands, millions of miracles. Every ayat in the Quran is a miracle. That's why it's called ayat. So you must remember, Utitu Jawami Al Kalim, that I have been given small, small words, short, short, concise words, but the meaning, encyclopedic meaning. Take this example. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his uncle, his chacha, his kaka, his father's brother, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, father's name was Abdullah, uncle's name was Abbas, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, read and ask Allah thrice on three occasions. Ask Allah, salullaha al-afiyah. Ask Allah for afiyah. So if somebody has to ask us, what is the meaning of afiyah? So we will say afiyah is everything a normal human being relishes and cherishes. So health, wealth, honor, dignity, and protection, preservation of our iman, our Islam. So one word, and it includes all the, so comprehensive word it is. Therefore, in Ibn Majah, you find, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa fi dini wa dunya wal akhirah. Ya Allah, I ask of you, al-afwa, forgiveness, wal-afiyah, safety, comfort, goodness, health, wealth, honor, fi dini, regarding my worldly matter, wal akhirah, and the year after also, fi dini wa dunya, in the worldly matters, wal akhirah, in the year after also. So it means that we beg Allah. You just use it. You can say in English, Ya Allah, grant me afiyah. See, I teach you a simple lesson. You as parents, you as teachers, you as students, whatever, you want to give dua to your teacher, to your parents, to your elders, your own wife, your own son, daughter, parents, her siblings are ill. Say, Ya Allah, grant me, grant them afiyah. Grant them afiyah. Grant them. Some muftis and some ulama, great, great ulama, that whenever they pass fatawa, me, I don't do it because I do time for all these things here. But that's why I say the great, great ulama, we simple Simons. So when they end off their fatwa, then they will right there, Wallahu ta'ala a'alam bisawab, Almighty Allah knows the best. And then they will write the dua for the person who posed the question. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala grant you afiyah. They're giving dua to the mustafti, they're giving dua to the sa'il, they're giving dua to the person who posed that question there. So that's a wonderful thing to do, provided you have the time and all these type of things there. So you must remember, that's a wonderful lesson. Every parent, every teacher, so make dua, Ya Allah, grant him, grant her afiyah. So it's inclusive of the worldly things, the year after, and it's inclusive and comprehensive. It includes our physical well-being and our spiritual well-being. Now imagine such what words they are in Islam, but we have neglected all this. And today, because the ummah, the micro and the macro, our families and the Ummah at large. We suffer by and large from a complex, inferiority complex, and we say the West is the best and white is right. So therefore we suffer from all these type of problems.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, what happens in a case where a person is on a ventilator, and then what should the person do? What does the family do? Do they switch it off, or what does Mufti Saab advise?
Remember, it's not what I advise or he advise or she advise. Islam don't work like that. We must say, what does the Sharia say? In such cases, one day a person came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said that this is our problem. What is your opinion? Sayyidina Umar was very upset. He said, it's not my opinion, your opinion, and so forth. You must ask what the Sharia says, what the Quran says, what the Hadith says, what Nabi alayhi salam says. So today people, they say, that what is your opinion, your opinion? So you must say, that Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, these people, Ashabu Rai, they are A'da'ullah, they are the enemies of Allah. They just come, my opinion, you get Jahil people today, ignorant people today, sitting in a mosque, sitting in a classroom, sitting in a home, and they sit in a halqa, in a circle, and they take one verse of the Quran. What is your opinion? What is your opinion? What is your opinion? People like that, remember to make tafsir bi Rai, you make tafsir, commentary of the Quran according to the own worms and fancies. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Fill yatabawwa maqadahu minan nar," that you must now prepare your seat in Jahannam. Go open the books on Ulumul Quran, and that you will find the hadith. They're so famous it is. So it's very, very careful. We will be very careful regarding these issues here. So if a person's condition is such that the doctors and the medical fraternity say, you know what, medically we can't do anything for this person here. So we will advise the family and the brothers, sisters, children, whoever, this is the dua you should read. How many people we told them now in this past 2-3 weeks and months and so forth? Allah, it's a male, Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayran lahu fa ahyihi. Ya Allah, if life is better for this person, then give him life. Wa in kanatil wafatu khayran lahu fa tawaffahu. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Ya Allah, if death is better, give death. Because in Islam, we don't accept and believe in euthanasia, mercy killing. Just give that person injection or poison and kill him. No, Islam, that is haram, is murder that. So we beg Allah for what is the best. If it is the mother, sister, daughter, wife like that, Allah forbid, then you say, Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayran laha fa ahyiha. Ya Allah, if life is better for her, then give her life. Wa in kanatil wafatu khayran laha fa tawaffa. Ya Allah, if death is better, then give death. So that is one side of the coin. Then they'll tell you, you know what, that we need this bed, this ICU, and so many problems and so forth, and we can't do anything. And your brother, sister, whoever, parent is on the ventilator. So in a case like that, if the family, normally this is the advice we give, we tell them that what you must do, make mashura, and then you switch off. You tell them, fine, we have decided, you switch it off. So in a case like that, you must remember, Islamically, there's no sin upon you. In Islam, we need to understand this one usul, this one principle. To take the tadawi, to take the dawa, to take the medication is sunnah. So if that person says, no, I don't want to take this medication, or I don't want this ventilator, take it off, remove it, switch it off. So there is no sin on that person there from a fiqh perspective, from the Islamic jurisprudence point of view. There's no sin upon him. People love stories. Normally, I always give them the story. It was 2002. I went to Aqsa al-Mubarak with Allah's help, myself, my wife. We fastened ihram there. Then from there, we came to Jordan, Jeddah, Makkah. We performed Umrah, all with Allah's help. And then I came to Medina, and I wanted to make Jummah there as well. But the problem was, even if I go by plane, I'll miss my connecting flight from Jeddah to Egypt. So my one cousin there in Jeddah, Hafiz Ismail, Allah reward him, so he's still there. So he told me, do this, I'll send my driver, then straight after Jummah, there the Imam makes salam, then you just move to the car and pack the car up with the luggage, everything before Jummah. So Alhamdulillah, we did all that, and Imam Sahib made salam, we left from the masjid, and then we went there to the car, mashallah, and mashallah, we left, and then we reached there in time. And then I phoned him, and he told me, you must phone home, your brother is very critical. Cut long story short, from there I had to take a flight to Cairo, and from there again I phoned and found out, he said same. So this was now Saturday. So when I landed here, remember it was Saturday afternoon, when I left it was Friday I came. So it was my brother, and it was an African doctor. So he told me, your brother is very, very ill. So I told him, what are the options? He said, I'll give you 24 hours plus minus, and then we see. So I gave him all the details. The next day, Sunday morning, he contacted us from here, where we are now. So I rushed with the hospital. The family was already also. So mashallah, he told me, you know what? Today is now, we have to make decision. I said, switch it off. We got no problem with that. So you switch it off, so it's fine. So, and I just asked him, give us 1 hour, we want to pray. He said, I give you 3 hours, you know. So then he came after 10 o'clock, quarter past 10, around there. And then I saw what he did and everything. So you must remember, if you do that, so Islamically is totally permissible. And you must remember that what we will say, there is no sin on the person, and our belief must be ventilator, no ventilator. And if I go the other side, my mother, they had the ventilator, she was 7 weeks in ICU, and not ICU only, in the ICU another isolated room. So you can understand how many ICUs there are there. So you must remember, she passes away. So that proves what Islam is saying, that the person with ventilator, no ventilator, whatever it is. And subhanAllah, she passed away yesterday's date. If you take our English calendar, Gregorian calendar, 30th of June 1997. So the point I'm making here is this, Allah Ta'ala grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. So the point I'm making is, Islamically you must remember that we say the person will pass away on the appointed time. Vaccination, no vaccination, ventilator, no ventilator, everybody passes away on the appointed time. Surah 63, verse 11. This is istidlal, nuktatun khafiyya. That is, you know, istidlal latif. Surah 63, verse 11. وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. That, Ya Rasulullah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will not give extension to anyone when the time comes. You also, Surah 63 verse 11, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaka mayyitu wa innahum mayyitun. So Surah 63 verse 11, you will pass away at the age of 63 in the 11th year of the Hijrah. You see, this you call the lataif of tafsir. This you call the finer points of the Quran tafsir and commentary of the Quran.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program, and today the discussion is on medicine in Islam. So the next question, Mufti Saab, is what happens if in the case where a person has to go into a certain shop, can he use the sanitizer with alcohol or not?
Remember that many a time you have a choice, that for example, that you can tell them that you're using your own sanitizer or what have you, where there's no alcohol and that. So if they understand, then it's fine. But sometimes they won't listen to you. For example, you go to a hospital clinic, they will tell you, see, our laws here and so forth. So in a case like that, simple, what you do is this, that if you use the sanitizer and you know there's alcohol, then just go and wash your hands and all that after that immediately. Always there's basins there and so forth. I see nowadays, last week I was there in the shop here in the Signet Terrace, and you know, they use that thing there. For me, I just fundi, sometimes they don't put in all that, so they just leave it, you know. But I see sometimes they insist, Then if you just go inside, then you will see they got that wet wipes and what have you. So you can just wash it and clean it with that and all. And obviously when you get water, then you just wash it. So that will be the best thing to do. But as far as possible, anything to do with alcohol, always remember there are two industries which Islam condemned, and that is A to Z. One is interest and one is alcohol. If you want to know about interest, open chapter 2, verses 275 to 279, and you will see how Almighty Allah condemned it. And the last verse there, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you don't abstain and refrain from interest, giving, taking, and contracting party, and witness, and scribe, and so forth, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Then be prepared for a war against Almighty Allah and Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imagine that, what a wa'id and warning that is. Similarly, alcohol. And if you just go back to interest, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, open Bulughul Maram, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, all that. You will find chapters on this. And you will see, kunna nattaqi riba wa riba. That we used to stay away from riba, interest, and anything that look like interest. It is a sad state of affairs today. We got Maulvis and Muftis and Sheikhs and Sheikhul Islam, I don't know what and what titles, that from the back door they're legalizing interest. So just the direct opposite of what Sahaba are doing, Sharia compliant, just to make money. There's the bottom line. So remember that. So that is an indictment, remember that. Similarly, we must remember alcohol. So if you open Surah 5, you must remember Surah Maida, and you see verse number 90-91, and that where Almighty Allah speaks of it, innamal khamru wal maysiru wal ansabu wal azlamu ritsum min amali shaitan. So where Almighty Allah condemns, you must remember all these type of things. So there Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us that there's alcohol, and that is the work of shaitan, and fajtanibu, and you must abstain from it. Otherwise, you must remember, they will lead to bigger problems for you. And Allah Ta'ala asked the question, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you stop now? So they said, intahayna, intahayna. Chapter 5, verses 19-91. So therefore, remember in Islam, to do with alcohol or to do with interest, all that, the entire industry is condemned, A to Z. Therefore, in Islam, we say, Al-Khamru, that Ummul Khabais. Al-Khamru, Ummul Fawahish. That Khamr, alcohol, and all these drugs and whatever, you fall in the same law, same category. So they are the mother of all vices and the mother of all evil. So that is what Islam will say regarding these type of issues.
Mufti Sahib, will this apply to cough mixture as well, which contains alcohol?
Remember that any medication where you find an alternative, so you must use the alternative. So remember that, yes, if it is matter of life and death, then remember, we will say as a last resort. Therefore, the fuqaha and the jurors have a law. Ad-darurat tubihul mahzurat. So, darurat, what is darurat? It's a matter of life and death. It's not just for our own comfort and our own whims and fancies. So that the things that are normally haram will become permissible in this sense. There'll be no sin upon you. See, Quran says, فَمَنْ اِتُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغْيُ وَلَا عَادٍ. If a person is compelled, he is not desirous of it. Wala adin, he doesn't take more than required. It's a matter of life and death. So a person now is plane crash somewhere, and now there's only alcohol there, there's only swine there or something. And if he doesn't have that, he'll die. So there the fuqaha say you must have it. Why? Because Quran says, فَلَا إِثْمَالِ. You don't mean it's halal, but there's no sin upon you. So see the words in the Quran. So that is matter of life and death. But today we want to make it the norm. So that is not permissible. So where we can, you must get alternatives and look and search for alternatives. We must use the alternative. And remember, where it's matter of life and death and there's no alternative, then as a last resort, we will say permissible in this sense, that not is halal, but there's no sin upon you if you use it.
Mufti Saab, with regards to taking precaution, and a person is not sick and he just wants to take the vaccine as a precautionary measure, can he do so or not?
Remember, our fatwa in such a situation would be definitely haram for him to do so. Why? Because what precautionary is this? If you want, just send me a message, 071-888-1184. It's not we. You must remember, it is the big, big professors and doctors and so forth. They are the ones who are telling you that this is so harmful. Say I give you one E or two easy examples. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work it out. Israel, the rogue terrorist regime, you must remember, they were one of the first countries to buy all the vaccines they could get, and then they inoculated and gave their people, the Jutlas, the Jews. Obviously, Palestinians, they don't give. So in Gaza and here and there. So they gave them. Now go read the Haaretz newspaper for the past 1 week, 2 weeks, and go see. How many problems they're having with their chest? How many problems they're having with the youth? Yesterday's paper had or today's paper got? Then now, remember, it's gone back to such levels that the variant, Delta variant, this variant, has reaching peak. And now they have to reintroduce the restrictions and so forth. So I'm asking you, you took all those vaccines, you took all the so-called precautions, but did it benefit you or did it boomerang? Again, you have to go to Quran. And what the Quran said, Chapter 7, verse 167, wa idh ta'adhana rabbuk, and your Allah, your sustainer, nourishes, announced, la yab'athanna alayhim ila yawmil qiyamati may yasumhum su'al adhab. Allah will continuously punish them for the Jutlas and the Jews right till the day of Qiyamah. Whether it's Hitler, we don't condone what he did, but I'm explaining the verse to you. Whether it's Hitler, whether it's Hamas, whether it's vaccine, whether it's this, whether it's that, so they will always be on the receiving end. Because of their crimes they perpetrated in the past, in the present, and they will continue perpetrating in the future. So therefore, Allah continues punishing them. And this is enshrined in the noble Quran. So we must be clear on this type of things. So that's number one. Number two, if you go to Russia, you go to Spain, you go to go to there and such countries, so they telling you, you must remember, if you vaccinated, you can't board the plane on long, long flights. This is what's happening now in front of our eyes. If you just go yesterday, maybe you should carry the news, Maulana, that the BA pilots and so forth, from there, how many of them died already? The pilots died. So you must remember this. They're all trying to downplay it. You must remember this type of things here. So you must remember that. So how many people today, they are so scared to go on the plane because you will get blood clot, or the pilot himself took it and they in problems and so forth. So I mean all this. So remember, this whole vaccine thing is that governments are involved, media involved, pharmaceutical companies are involved, and they know masses are S's, you know. So create panic in the people, create panic in the people. Everybody must take it. So I ask three questions. Okay, if I take the vaccine, I still have to wear the mask. Yes, you must wear the mask. Yeah, according to them, right? So if you take the vaccine, must you still do social distancing? Yes, you must still do social distancing. So if you take the vaccine, must you still sanitize? Yes, you must still sanitize. So we Muslims, we wash our hands 10 times a day. You must remember that. And remember, istinja, we do also with water after we relieve ourselves and so forth. So we the cleanest people on the face of this earth, remember that. So I'm just using their theory and their idea. So if still all that has to be done, then what is the benefit? They say, no, it will boost your immune system. Oh, you won't die. So how you won't die? Every person has to die. So you must remember this type of things here. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. The death you're running away, it must reach you wherever you are. Surah 62, verse number 8. So therefore, we reject all these things they are saying, you must remember that. So I will not advise anybody, you must remember that, to take this vaccine and that. And these Maulvis and them, today I got an article, I'll send it out, inshallah. Our own so-called Maulvis and Sheikhs and all of them, they are the ones that they say, close the mosque, take the vaccine. And so do they have iman, first of all? If Maulvis and Sheikhs say, close the mosque, they say, take vaccine. What you read between the lines? I call them bootlickers. I call them scholars for dollars. I call them ulama-e-su. They are the shaitans. Dwallu wa adwallu. They lead people astray. So you must remember these type of things there. So just somebody sent it to me now. It appeared in some newspaper. So can you imagine that people, if the Jew does it, the Christian does it, some non-Muslim does it, so that they will do, their followers will take it up with them. But when Muslim does, then we have to speak and expose them, you must remember. And therefore, I said, to give these organizations funds is haram, you must remember. It's not permissible according to us. It's not permissible to read salat behind them and all that. Because they are the people who are hoodwinking the ummah and deceiving the ummah. Allah alone protect us.
Mufti Saab, with the last few minutes, can Mufti Saab please explain the hadith on La Adwa?
So you must remember that La Adwa wa La Tiyara, all that Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us how to protect our belief structure. See, when a child is born, when a person embraces Islam, I give you just 3-4 easy examples so you will understand it properly. So number one is, we tell a person, wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. Good, bad, happy, sad comes from Almighty Allah. That person, your wife gave birth, mashallah, healthy, bouncing bundle of joy, is also from Allah. After 1 day, 2 days, somebody passes away, so that also is from Allah. So good, bad, happy, sad, destiny, predestination, call whatever you want. So all comes from Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala. So that is first point. Second point, when you study balagha, rhetoric and so forth, so they say, if the Muslim says, Ambatar Rabi'ul Baqla, and the non-Muslim says, it will be a big difference in the meaning, that you say, this season here, produce the vegetable. So when the Muslim says it, he means that the sabab zahiri, superficially, that the season, and the rain, and dust, and all that, now the fruit came, vegetable came. But he knows the sabab haqiqi, the real one to give it is Almighty Allah. We say the person took vaccination operation, he got cured. So that is the sabab-e-zahiri, the superficial one. But the real Shafi is who? Is Almighty Allah. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَوَ يَشْفِينَ. So same thing here also, La Adwa. You as a Muslim, you must not believe that in the inner recesses of your heart, that the sickness is contagion, that because I touched him and I sat next to him and so forth, so he made me sick, she made me sick. No. So sickness comes from Almighty Allah. So the question comes then, who made the first one sick? You see? So Islam is teaching us that we must attribute everything to Almighty Allah, and we use, remember, Quran Sharif and Sunnah. So this is Siyanatul Aqidah, Ay Tashihul Aqaid, how to rectify our beliefs, remember that, and make them correct and so forth. So we must know how to use it. So when you say La Adwa, you don't blame him that I shook your hand or I ate with you, I became sick. No. Say the sickness came from Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala. How the true Muslim will say, Allah gave me shifa, although he went for operation or he went for injection and so forth. So that is the real meaning of that hadith and so forth, to protect the people from the belief structure of the pagans and today the professors or scientists or doctors, whatever, that they say, no, you sat with this one, you stayed with this one, you did this, you did this, you did this. So therefore you got sick. No, we will say that we sickness, everything comes from Almighty Allah. One is sabab-e-zahiri, one is sabab-e-hakiki. Sabab-e-zahiri, we go to the shop, we go to job, we work, and then we get big money and so forth. So that is the superficial means. But we know that the razaq, the sustainer, nourisher, provider is Almighty Allah. So that is how you draw the distinction in Islam.
Mufti Sahib, we recently had a clip of a person, a scholar, who says that if you don't take precaution and you die, then you won't be a shaheed. Is this true?
So you must remember that these type of scholars are not scholars. They're just TV actors. You must remember that I call them TV actors. You must remember this. They will tell you that if you never took the vaccine, then you committed suicide. That kind of statements also they made. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So you must, these are people who, they're the same people. They said if you go to the mosque and you make sajda, you will get a virus. That is kufr, that. You must remember that. Quran Kareem teaches us, you must remember, wa annal masajida lillah, that the masjid belongs to Allah. Allah says you close the masjid and so forth, you're the biggest zalim, tyrant and oppressor. And ma ulaika ma kana lahum ay yadkhuluha illa khaifin. They are the ones. They will not enter but with fear. For them, Quran says, Surah 2, verse 114, لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them, you must remember, is that a disgrace in this worldly life and a horrible, big, grave punishment in the year after. And the hadith in Sahih Muslim, what the hadith says, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. The best place in the world is the masjid. And the worst place, وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُ. You will never hear them telling you, don't go to the mall, don't go to the bazaar, don't go to the market. But they tell you, don't go to the mosque. Can you imagine such hypocrisy and double standards? When we enter the masjid, what we say? Allahumma iftah li abwaaba rahmatik. Ya Allah, admit me into your doors of mercy. The masjid is the epicenter of Allah's mercy. It's the super spreader of Allah's mercy. But today, Sheikh, Maulvis, ulama'i su, shaitans in human form, they are the ones who will tell you that no, don't go masjid, because there you will get sick and so forth. Go open Tabarani and go open, remember, Bayhaqi, you will find the hadith there, that when you go to the masjid, Allah Ta'ala diverts the sickness and evil from there. Don't mean you will never get sick. Obviously you can get sick. But we must have the belief that the masjid are the places of Allah's mercy. So may Almighty Allah guide us all. Inshallah, next up we have the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter we have that being an oppressive boss, Sheikh Zahir Mahmood. And thereafter, 1:05 to after Azhar Azan, report back trip to Sabri Masjid. And then 1:30 to 2, Surah Anfal, verses 49 to 52. 2 to 3, inshallah, will be Mona Zahid Khan. And with the Madrasa on air, 3 to 3:30, the repeat of the Q&A. Then inshallah, this morning's one. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum. Now is the news.
Jazakumullah. To Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners, make dua for us as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Merkez Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.